Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have invited us to come before you to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing to you. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give glory to your name through our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is Blessed Jesus at Your Word. I invite you to stand for our last verse. I invite you to follow order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our own sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. O most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives us his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who's begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Eternal God, your Son Jesus Christ is our true Sabbath rest. Help us to keep each day holy by receiving his word of comfort, that we may find our rest in him. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. We read from chapter 64, verses 6 through 9. In these words, Isaiah reminds us that God the Father is our potter and we are the clay. We should never get that confused or switched around. We are not the ones who dictate to God who he is and what he should do or what he should say. He is the one who created us. We belong to him. This imagery will also be reflected a bit in the sermon text for today. Isaiah writes, "All of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a filthy cloth. All of us have withered like a leaf, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is no one who calls on your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. So you hid your face from us. You made us melt by the power of our guilt. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry, Lord, without limit. Do not remember our guilt forever. Please look closely. All of us are your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. Glory to you, O Lord. In this reading from Mark, Jesus reminds us very powerfully that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the word Sabbath means rest. In the Old Testament, that was Saturday. We normally choose to worship the Lord on Sunday. But the word Sabbath was meant to point the people to the rest that Jesus would come to give them, not just spiritually on a day of worship, but also the rest he would give them in heaven. Once on a Sabbath day, Jesus was passing through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick heads of grain as they walked along. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath day?" He replied to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and his companions? He entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone to eat, except for the priests. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is the word of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Faith and Truth and Life Bestowing.
Scriptures, Lord.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God's Word made flesh, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We read verses 5 through 12. The Apostle Paul here, writing by inspiration, writes this: "Indeed, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, 'Light will shine out of darkness,' is the same one who made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. We hold this treasure in clay jars to show that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, yet not despairing, persecuted, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. To be sure, while we are living, we are continually being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life is working in you." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When a business is trying to get its products delivered to its customers, it is likely going to look for the most efficient and most reliable ways to do so. And I would guess that the more valuable the product, the more important it is that your delivery system will get that product where it needs to go. If it does not, the results could be devastating. They could even be catastrophic to the company. And I would also further to guess that no company in their right mind would ever choose a delivery system that was consistently inefficient and consistently unreliable. Well, think about the incredibly valuable product, so to speak, that God has delivered to mankind. His product in air quotes there. It is His holy word. In this word, of course, is the good news, the gospel, that all mankind has been saved through the life, the death, and the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our text rightly calls this word a treasure. How would you choose to deliver this product, to deliver this soul-saving message, this treasure to the world? Well, maybe you would use one of God's angels. Their name means messenger. That's what the word angel means. Maybe you'd even use a host of angels, like God did when He announced the birth of His Son Jesus to those shepherds near Bethlehem. Would you choose instead maybe to write it in fire across the sky so that everyone can see it and read it for themselves? Or maybe you would just tell God, come down yourself, just tell everybody yourself. In all your glory, all your majesty, tell everyone this great message yourself. Well, let me ask you then, in your wildest dreams, would you have guessed the method that God actually used to deliver this message of mankind's salvation? Can you imagine that God actually used clay jars? What are you talking about, Pastor? Clay jars? You're sounding like a cracked pot by saying that. What I mean is this. Paul explains it in our text, actually. We are, in this illustration of Paul's, clay jars. Not the most flattering of illustrations, but Paul's point is valid. He says, we are clay jars whose true value and true strength does not come from ourselves, but it comes from the treasure that is contained inside of it. This is the smallest Bible I had. It didn't quite fit in that pot, but it's the treasure that's contained inside the clay pot that gives the true value and the worth to this clay pot, this clay jar. The Word of God is that treasure, the message of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. There is truly no treasure more valuable than that. I may have mentioned this before in a sermon at a previous time, but every time I read these verses, I'm reminded of what a seminary professor of mine said as he expounded on this thought of we are clay jars. I loved what he said. He said, we're clay jars, but we're also cracked and leaky pots. We're cracked and leaky clay jars, just hoping to splash some of God's water of life on others. Thought that was well put. We are the containers. We are the distributors of God's life-saving gospel, and his words remind us that we are even inefficient and unreliable distributors at that. So why is it that we can so easily be tempted to get this switched around or to get this flipped, that we feel that somehow we are the priceless treasure and we are the ones who have the strength in and of ourselves? We can easily begin thinking that we are not the clay jar, but we are the important thing, the treasure. It's easy to begin making the people at church, the pastor, the teachers, our fellow members, making them the reason that we gather for church or for Bible study, instead of what is actually being preached and taught. In other words, again, putting the clay jar in front of the treasure of God's saving word. Let's also be clear of one very important fact, though. Our fellowship, our friendships, having a harmonious relationship with our pastor, our teachers, our fellow members, those are incredible blessings. They should not be taken for granted. Those blessings help us tremendously, especially as we work together in God's kingdom. And they are truthfully one of the biggest reasons I enjoy serving the Lord and am happy to be the pastor that God has called me to be for this congregation and the congregations that I serve in California. But if we are valuing our pastor, our teachers, our fellow members ahead of the Lord and his word, valuing the clay jar over the treasure, then we've got it wrong. That can lead to not only spiritual trouble, it can lead to spiritual disaster. That might lead us to ask the question then, well, why on earth would God use clay pots anyway? Well, Paul gives us the answer in the last half of verse 7. He says he does this to show that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. If you spend some time serving the Lord, this will become abundantly clear very quickly. Spend some time serving the Lord as a pastor, a teacher, a staff member of our school, or on the Board of Education, or as an elder or church officer, or on the Women's Auxiliary, or in just about any other volunteer capacity within the church, and you will find out very quickly it is a humbling experience. If we do an honest assessment of ourselves and our work for the Lord, we will very quickly realize just how unfit we are to be in the service of the Lord. Just how leaky and cracked we clay jars are. But on the positive side, you also will realize very quickly it is the power and providence of God Himself that is working for you and through you. I can tell you that a number of times in my ministry, it's been very clear to me that the Lord's ministry is not about me. It's not even about us. It's about Him. There have been many times where I have definitely felt and known my weakness and my weaknesses, just how leaky and cracked a pot I really am. And yet God does not leave me abandoned. He lifts me up. He pulls me through it. Still causes that precious water of life to still be poured out through me. At the same time, there have been occasions in our congregations that I've served where I've been blessed in one way or another to witness just how God has blessed the congregation in various ways, and it has absolutely nothing to do with my efforts or what I've done at all, or even my involvement. Maybe you've had similar experiences in your life and in your work in the congregations that you've been involved in and served in. I hope and pray that you have, and I hope and pray that you continue to have those kinds of experiences. And that is why Paul writes in the first verse of our text, he says, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the God who said, 'Light will shine out of darkness,' is the same one who made light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ." We are not the show. We are not the treasure. Therefore, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus as Lord. We are, as Paul says in verse 5, we are servants of our fellow believers, of mankind. We are servants for Jesus' sake. Did you know that's what the word minister means? It means servant. And you and I have all been given a ministry of one kind or another in our lives. Therefore, we have all been given the task of being a servant of Jesus for the sake of our fellow believers and for the sake of our fellow human beings. We are servants. We are the clay jars. We are not the treasure. The treasure has been given to us. As Paul says, when God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. He's put that treasure in your heart and mine through faith, that gift of the Holy Spirit. He's put that treasure in us lowly clay jars that we might pour it out, that we might share it with others and show to others and the world around us its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. Think of the man whom God chose to write these words. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was perhaps the greatest example of exactly what this text talks about. He was quite possibly the greatest Christian missionary ever, but we know how cracked and leaky he was. He apparently was disabled. He was physically a cracked and leaky pot. He writes in the same letter to the Corinthians about a thorn he had in his flesh, some physical deformity or infirmity that the Lord refused to take away from Paul. God kept it there to keep him humble and constantly remind him where Paul's true strength came from. Paul talks about the struggle. He says he pleaded with God three times to take it away, and this was what God said to Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My power and my treasure are made perfect, are shown to be perfect in a weak and frail clay jar." And what was Paul's response to these words from God? He said, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul understood where his true value came from. He understood where his true strength came from. And so he wrote in the words that came in the chapter before our sermon text for today, he said, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." Our sufficiency is from God, who has made us ministers, made us sufficient as ministers of his new covenant. Think of how important and how essential that is, that type of attitude that Paul had, how essential that is to our Christian life. Realizing that we are neither the treasure nor the power. We don't have that power in and of ourselves. After all, if I was to ask you, what would you rather put your trust in? This breakable, fragile clay pot? Or the rock, Jesus Christ? As we gather again together for worship and Bible study and then a congregational meeting afterwards, let's be sure as we come into the church doors, we ask ourselves each time, why am I here? What did I come here for? Why did you come to St. Stephen today? Why do you show up for Sunday worship and Bible study and church meetings? Are you here because of the clay jar or because of the treasure that is inside it? Are you here because of a man or because of your fellow members or because of the message? We must always remember to put Christ and His gospel, His word, that treasure first. Because after all, no pastor or teacher are going to be here forever. But Christ and His soul-saving message will be. And the reverse is also true. No matter how much I enjoy serving you, no matter how much I love and care about you, you are not going to be here forever either. But Jesus and His word always will. No matter where we are, Jesus and His word are always there. And so I ask again the question that we asked near the beginning of the sermon. If you were God, how would you have your holy, powerful message of mankind's salvation delivered to the world? Well, as we've read again in our text, the answer was that He chose to use, surprisingly, clay jars to carry that priceless treasure, that powerful treasure of His word. But let's not also forget the ultimate way God delivered His message of salvation to all people. The ultimate way He showed Himself and the ultimate way He showed His love. God Himself came down to deliver His message of salvation. But He didn't come down in His full glory, lightning bolts shooting out of His hands, laser beams coming out of His eyes. No, He came as a clay pot Himself, albeit a perfect one. He came down when He sent His Son Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, the Word made man, to live among us, to live a perfect life for us because we could not, to take away all of our sins on the cross, and to live again so that we would live forever with Him. The potter, as we read in Isaiah, is the one who was and is the treasure Himself, but He made Himself one of us. He made Himself a jar of clay to save us cracked and leaky pots with the most undesirable of means, the cross, that horrible yet wonderful cross. This incredible message is why Paul says in our text, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. We hold this treasure in clay jars to show that the extraordinary power is from God and not from us. What a message, what a treasure. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
And take not thy Holy Spirit.
You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Yes, Terry.
Prayers for Rose, my neighbor next door. She's not doing very well.
Doing well. Okay.
They're trying a new therapy, so they're waiting to see if I can.
Okay. I'll pray for Rose. Anyone else? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are the heavenly physician. You are the healer of our bodies and, most importantly, our souls. We pray that your healing hand would continue to be upon Rose. Please bless the new treatments that she is undergoing, that they would be effective if it is your will. Give healing to her body, dear Lord, but also use this time of trial to draw her closer to you. Do the same for her husband and her family as well, and her loved ones who are praying for her. In the end, dear Lord, we take comfort in knowing that you will eternally heal her of her cancer when you take her to her heavenly mansions. Please keep her from pain, and do not let this trial to bring her sorrow, but to bring her joy in you. Dear Jesus, you are the one who paid the price for our sins. You reconciled us to God our Father. We ask you to make us fully committed to you and to the treasure that is your gospel. Help us to feel an urgent need to share that great message with others. Help us to seek and save the lost among our families, our neighbors, and friends, and bless the word we speak, using it to work faith in their hearts. Cause the word of salvation that is sown to be rooted in the hearts of redeemed sinners, to bring forth abundantly the fruits of good works to your glory. Defeat every anti-God force which would lay stumbling blocks in the way of your gospel. Give our pastors, teachers, and missionaries a deep sense of dedication to their calling, that selfish pride and self-glory may have no part in their ministries. Fill each one of us with enthusiasm for Jesus' work. May we always support our missionaries, our pastors, and our teachers with our prayers, and willingly provide for their physical needs. Protect our missionaries wherever they labor, keeping them and their families from all harm and danger. And please bless those that they serve. We think especially today, Lord, of those in Bangladesh who have experienced such suffering and devastation after the hurricane. Please restore them and remind them of your grace and your goodness, that you are with them, that you are providing for them, and that you are working all things out for their eternal good. According to your gracious will, dear Lord, bless us all with good health. Spare us from sickness or disease. Bear us up when we have no strength, and encourage us when our way seems difficult. Defeat and hinder every evil power which would threaten to drive your word from either this country or foreign lands. Open up all the borders to your gospel. Open up the ones especially that have been closed to it. Grant that your word, wherever it is preached, will not return to you void, but accomplish your purpose of bringing sinners to repentance. O crucified and risen Christ, give grace to your church day by day, that it may accomplish that task to which you have called it, to witness your name in all the world, and to preach the gospel to every creature. We flee to you and your name for refuge. We ask you for forgiveness for our many sins. We ask you to forgive especially our neglect of your great commission, for we all too often fail to glorify your saving name to others. Forgive us and save us, precious Redeemer of all mankind. In your name we pray. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, How Firm a Foundation.
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue on the top of page 10 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray as we now join in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we ask communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation of the Church of the Lutheran Confession to receive the Lord's Supper with us at this time. We begin with those who would like to take the Lord's Supper from the pews. I invite you to take out your communion packets. We begin with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now at the direction of our ushers, communicant members are welcome to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the altar. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Please rise. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on the bottom of page 12.
Thank you.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. We close our service with the hymn, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. There are a number of announcements in the bulletin for both today and for this coming week. After our service today, we'll be meeting in the fellowship hall for our voters meeting regarding the annual budgets for our church and school. Voters are, of course, encouraged to attend, and the congregation is also encouraged to sit in on the meetings today after the service. For this week, Wednesday, confirmation class with Natalie, we wrap up our classes with her written examination. That's at 4 p.m., so say a prayer for Natalie before the 4 o'clock class on Wednesday, where she gets to take her final written exam before her confirmation. Thursday is our family fun night. We have our school play 6:30 this coming Thursday. It will be here in the sanctuary. The play is Hurry Up and Wait, so please join us for that and enjoy the fun play that the children have prepared for you. Friday is our last day of the school year. Saturday is our school cleanup day that begins at 10 a.m. and goes to approximately noon. Next Sunday, then, we do have the oral examination for Natalie. We'll be in our Bible class hour at 9 o'clock. You're welcome to attend, where she will confess her faith and to share some of the things she's learned during her confirmation classes. Choir will practice briefly at 9:30 next Sunday in preparation for our song in the service, for the communion, the confirmation service. And then the confirmation service with communion will be next Sunday. So we will be celebrating communion one more time next week with Natalie taking it with us as well. A cake reception for her will be held in the fellowship hall after the service at 11 a.m. Worship in Hayward next Sunday will be at 1 p.m., and then I'll be heading to Southern California to Anaheim for our worship service there at 6:30. And the directions and the location are in the bulletin today. Please do check the sign-up sheets in the entryway for the Lutheran Spokesman and Daily Rest subscriptions. For the Daily Rest subscription, each family does get a copy provided by the congregation. If you'd like to add a subscription, please mark the appropriate sheet. If you'd like to either renew or add a Lutheran Spokesman subscription, there is a sheet back there for that as well. And we're going to try to turn those in by Sunday, June 16th, so please sign up by then. The Runathon update, good news, we were able to raise over $1,400 through the Runathon this spring, and that will help go to some playground safety equipment and also some STEM and technology in the classroom. So thank you for your support and prayers for that. A quick note, we have discontinued our home phone number. So if you try calling the home phone, I'm not sure if it's fully disconnected yet or not, but it will not answer, or I won't answer. The church office phone is still active, and so is my cell phone, but I think if you call the church office phone, it will disconnect right to my cell phone anyway. So the best way to reach me, just call the cell phone. If you call the office phone, it'll probably be me picking up on the cell phone. So no home phone anymore. We've discontinued that. Make that change in the directories if you remember. I will try to keep remembering to take it off of the bulletin templates each Sunday, but if you see the home phone in there, no longer in existence. Are there any other announcements for today? Do we have an announcement or do we wait? Would you like me to make the announcement? Okay. We are happy to announce that a milestone birthday was had yesterday by our organist, Barb Gullerud. She's often the one who remembers birthdays, gives the birthday cards, starts the birthday song for us when we sing as we are leaving church. So today we're going to get to sing to her, and there is going to be some cake, some goodies in the fellowship hall before our meeting. So please join us in the fellowship hall for that after we sing happy birthday to Barb. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Barb. Happy birthday to you.
So my mother called yesterday and wished me happy birthday, and she says, I can't believe I'm the mother of a 70s. Have her thank the day.
Well, that just is because Ida still seems like she's 60, so that's why she said that. Blessings you. To you, yes.
Thank you for all the greetings.
Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.